Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. I can't talk. I've been preparing for the last half hour, and now I can't talk. Well, welcome to the show. It's Monday. It's more than that. It's Memorial Day, and I'm sure that most of my listeners, like 99.9% of the people listening to the show, are aware of what kind of holiday is and why we have this holiday, and the fact that it's not about barbecuing per se, but people love to barbecue and celebrate. But it's about remembering those who served, well, in the United States military in some form or another, who were somehow, some way or another, died in action or died in a war theater of some kind. Or even, we'll just leave it at that, because there are many who die and accidental deaths while in the military, but mostly it's about those. And it goes back to, I read this thing about where did Memorial Day, and I have a caller, I'll be with you in a minute. Let me just kind of set up the show a little bit about this Memorial Day and where we're going to go with. One of the things I really wanted to mention before I get into the history of it and where it came back from, and I read this, and I'm not, I don't have 100% certainty on it, but I'll go there with the story in a minute. But if you call in today, what I'd like to do is see if we can connect with somebody in your past who perhaps died in the military, at war, or in the theater in conflict. So a lot of things that are war, we don't really call wars, but they are. I mean, anytime somebody dies in some kind of combat situation, it really is war, isn't it? So let's if anybody wants to try to reach to a friend, something like that, coworker who died while serving this country, but maybe another country. Okay, so we'll do that. That would be kind of an interesting thing to do. I did write a little thing that I posted, just a brief blog on Facebook this morning. Now, let me read it to you, because I think it relates to today. And then I'll tell you a little bit about why I do this, why I love to talk to dead people. Dead people, they're not dead. They're just in a non-physical world. Call it heaven, call it whatever you call it. They're in their physical, spiritual bodies, not in their physical bodies. And so I'll tell you why I like to talk to them. Okay. If I can find my article. Okay. So I wrote this morning, and it was really brief, but it was to the point of, I would like to take a moment and remember my friends from high school and college who lost their lives in the Vietnam War. I honor your memories and your service. I'm also reminded, regardless of how you feel about war, that they served with honor. Love is always the answer. Always love them. So that's how I tied in love to this whole thing, is that regardless of what they did and what you feel about war, but we need to love those people who did what they felt that they needed to do. Now, in Vietnam, a lot of people were drafted into the military, but they still served and they did their job. And, unfortunately, they didn't come home. So we'll still send them love. And after that, there are other wars that, that there was no draft, but people still got caught up in action. So we talk about love. I have some articles on love, and love in a different sense, relationship love, and so forth and so on, and also take some calls. And going back to why I do this, and I know I have a caller, and I will be with you in about a minute. So just hang in there just for another minute. Let me just kind of set up why I like to do this. Now, I'm a natural channel. I learned that at a fairly early age in my life, in my late teens, early 20s, that I got messages, and I don't know where they came from. So later on, after years of – and I've had my paranormal experiences, if you call it that, in my life, a few of them, actually, kind of – interesting, and sometimes if you want to hear about them, I can tell you about my interesting paranormal experiences and kind of tune me in that there's something beyond the physical body. But I study channeling. And so I worked as a professional psychic part-time while I was doing other, real jobs, right? So I did psychic work, and I never really wanted to be a medium. I always thought that was kind of like, nah, I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to be like, I don't want to talk to, and I don't, you know, strange messages and all that stuff. And when I didn't want to find all this going on in people's lives. But gradually, over time, in the last few years, I kept getting messages. I kept getting messages for people about, you know, their relatives that had passed. And I found out through exploring this and receiving messages and passing messages on to people that it does a few things. First of all, it gives you hope. It gives you hope that, yeah, they're okay. They're doing fine in the non-physical world. They're surrounded by love. They're all of what people think is might happen doesn't happen. Actually, what happens is in a much more positive way. Okay? So that's a good thing. And it also gives us hope. Because if we get a message from the non-physical world and we realize, yeah, that is, they're there, they're happy, doesn't that kind of open it up to us saying, you know, when I get there, it's going to be okay. It'll be fine. You know, I'm going to do that transition stuff and I'm going to be on the other side and it's going to be cool and I'm going to be happy. So that's why I do it. Two reasons. The third reason, or I guess it would be the third, is they give great messages. It's messages of hope and love and guidance and direction from the non-physical world. They're tapped in, tuned in to God, to use that expression, or source, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it. They're tapped in, tuned in, and they pass on to us knowledge and information that we need in our lives. So it's about guidance. So I guess that's part of that coaching part of it, and that mentoring part of it, and inspiring part of it is that they do. They give us messages so that we can find our purpose in life, our direction. Okay? So that's why I do it. I love to do it. And for some reason, I feels more comfortable than just what you call being a psychic per se. I guess psychics sometimes connect to people who have passed, but I'd rather give you messages from your relatives than some spirit guide or some kind of weird voice out there. So let me take a call and then we'll get into more of the show. Hello.
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 And hi, who am I speaking to?
My name is Cindy.
Cindy, how is Cindy today?
Cindy is good. How are you?
I'm having a good day, actually. It's been rather interesting. I got all into this Memorial Day, but also about love and those who have passed and wanted to connect more with them today. So what's going on with you today? How can I help you?
I just wanted to see if you could connect with someone. It would be my children's father.
Your children's father. Okay. Does he have a first name? No, he doesn't have a name.
No name.
No, I'm kidding. I like to have fun. So it's all about fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So Rick, so when did Rick pass?
Rick passed away. It'll be 22 years in August.
Wow, that's quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see if I get something. And you can, and I usually put things out there. And if it sounds like something he would do or say, or the emotion is something, then we're on track. If not, then I don't know what I'm getting, right? I to be honest, you know, I'm pretty close to 99% of the 90-something percent of the time accurate. But let's see, okay? So what is Rick saying? What is Rick saying to you? Something about you taking care of them. Okay, it must be children, right? You taking
Correct.
Care of them. And it's about, even though it was very frustrating at times, and I imagine it would have been, it was very frustrating at times, you did a pretty good job, okay? And there's a bunch of hand claps in the non-physical world for you doing a really very good job. And I'm sensing that for you, that the stress was just like sometimes at some point you just kind of went, oh, I'm done, right? I'm done. But you managed to get through. But you managed to get through it. And that's why they're congratulating you. And it's not just him, but it's other relatives that he's hanging out with that you know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grandfathers and grandmothers and great aunts and that sort of thing. A lot of people on your father's side are there. I don't know why I would say that, but a lot of people on your father's side are kind of around you all the time. That's interesting. I don't know why. So the message is really, it's more of a congratulation message for you that you. Here's something else I'm getting. No, we can go on. And I don't have a lot of callers today, so you're stuck with me for a minute, okay?
That's fine.
No, I love to talk to you. I love to get messages from. It's something to the fact that there's like an apology here on his part, an apology. And I'm trying to get the details of the apology. It's like, I'm sorry for something that I did. Was there some kind of physical activities that he, like, not, I don't know if it's really even abuse. It might have been emotional, but it feels physical. Okay?
It was physical and emotional.
Yeah, because that's because I see, like, and this could be just very symbolic, but I see hands around the neck. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So there's an apology for that. I'm sorry that, you know, in my state of mind, was he drinking or taking drugs or something?
Yeah, alcoholic. He died of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, because it's like my state of mind, and I got this thing about drugs and alcohol or something like that. It was out of my head. I was out of my head. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I apologize for all that. And that's what he's saying. He's trying to tell me to tell you that I apologize for all that. And it, because God has forgiven me. Please you forgive me. Ooh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing he's trying to say is that he is working with others in the physical world to help them or motivate those to get help. That his role in the non-physical world, spirit world, is to help those in the physical world get help, like an angel of help.
Yeah. Right.
To guide those to AA or wherever it might be so that they can get help. That's his job. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Good.
So he's in a good place. He's in a good place, but he still wants your forgiveness.
He had it.
Yeah, for a while.
Because
it just feels like he would feel lighter for some reason. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you belong to MAD?
No, I don't.
Yeah, there's something about MAD, or maybe you should look into it. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Mm-hmm.
In his memory. Okay, not that he did that, but it's just that's something that he thinks looking down on the earth, it's a really important thing.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that's his message.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. There's a lot of love there because all the veil of all that stuff, as it went away, love came up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day.
All
just
right.
Know that.
Thanks.
Just know he's in a good place, okay?
Oh,
and
yeah, all right.
And he does apologize.
No, that's fine. Thank you
Take
so
care.
Much.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, that, to me, that's a really cool thing. When I get a message like that and it does resonate, I don't always get all the exact details, but I get pictures and images of perhaps the symbolic pictures of what might have taken place in a situation like that. And that's really good. I mean, and hopefully it helps. It hopefully helps and puts somebody a little bit more at peace about a situation. And it's good to know that they're doing fine. Generally they are. You know, I've read different things about those in the non-physical world. Well, they have to still deal with some of the physical stuff that they've gone through. I have this crystal cluster sitting in front of me. And, you know, quartz crystal is a magnifier of energy. So I'm going to hold it and hang on to it here. Maybe I'll get more some better energies, good energies coming in from you folks. Okay? Oh, I have a caller. Ooh, I love callers. So let me take another caller. Wait a minute. Now, I just talked to 302 area code, if I'm correct. And this one is a 312. So they're so close in numbers, it's kind of like weird. I get these threes. Three is an interesting number, isn't it? Okay, so I think it's 312 that I'm next. Is that who? Okay, let me try. Hello?
Oh, hello. Hi, this is Karen from Chicago. I was wondering if you're taking questions for readings.
Yeah, but I do it a little differently. I talk to dead people.
Oh.
I get messages from relatives, friends, family members. Today, I'm especially trying to get messages from those who may have served in the military who died that might have messages for people. And they answer your questions. That's the best source of answers because they're directly tuned into, you know, divine energies, believe it or not.
Oh.
They get better energy.
Oh, I do have a lot of relatives.
And they love you. See, they love you. And they're going to be more... The messages I get from, I call them dead people. They're not dead. You know that. But the messages I get are a little more straightforward than what you would do from a psychic thing, I think, because they'll kick you in the butt sometimes. They'll tell you, hey, you're not doing this. You got to get yourself together. So is there any particular, it's a woman. Okay. I get right off the bat, I get that's a woman. Female energy. Okay. A woman.
Okay.
Father's side of the family.
Okay.
Kind of distant, not really close. Okay?
Okay.
Like a great grandmother type person. Okay?
Oh.
Is your mother alive?
Yes, my mother is. Both grandparents have passed.
No, it's one beyond the grandparent, so it'd be a great grandparent. Okay, that's what I got.
Oh.
So I don't know. I wish I got names, but they never give me names. They don't want me to screw them up. Okay?
Okay.
Because that gets distracting if you pronounce it wrong and they go on. Okay, so what is she? Well, you have a question for her?
General? I don't know if she can help with this, but I received two crank calls. Like somebody was playing with the phone. The first time they blocked their number. Then the second time they called me and told me, today's Memorial Day, and they called me. They said, oh, we're calling about a job that you applied for. And I know I didn't apply. The company that she said I never applied for, and it sounded like she was joking around, and so I, you know, just told her I'm not interested in this, and I'm just wondering if someone put them up to it or it's someone I know playing a game.
No, it feels random. It feels much more random. The energy I hear random. The word I got was random. Okay, was it somebody you know that wanted to do a crank call on you? There used to be a game called Spin the Dial, like big board, and they would spin a dial, and it would land on something. They landed on your number. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Because I don't get from whoever I'm talking to on the other side that it was an intentional call just to get to you, but it was a random thing. That you could block the number, but it was just harassment. Okay.
Okay.
Because I see a bunch of people laughing in the background. Ah, you know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Don't put a lot of energy into it.
I have a younger sister. Did that have something to do with her?
No, it's random.
Yeah, random. Okay.
Random. I mean, don't go there with the younger sister because that'll just cause more conflict. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You want to leave that one alone. Your relationship is still on pins and needles anyway, right?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what? Okay, so that leads into what I'm just got a minute. Let me see if I get anything else from whoever I got hooked up to. You know, the line for the the phone line for the non-physical world. Okay, so what is she saying to you? You looking for a job?
Yes, I am actually.
Okay, June's a happy month for you. That's what she's saying. Oh, okay. June is a happy month for you. It's a happy month, okay? Lots of good things happening for you in June, okay?
Okay.
But you got to lighten up your spirit a little bit,
okay?
You got to lighten up your spirit, and I don't know what she means by that. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's what I'm hearing is you got to lighten up because the pressure, it's like a pressure cooker. Like you're like a pressure cooker right now. You're just ready to blow, okay? That's what I got. I don't know. Is that right? I mean, am I close?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yes, definitely. A lot of
Well, the steam will be turned down soon. There's going to be release, early relief. So just kind of know it. Just know it's going to take place really soon.
Okay.
Because financial worries is what I'm hearing about you. Financial worries, right? I mean, that's obvious. It doesn't take a psychic to figure out if you're out of job. The money's not coming in the way you want it to, right?
Yes.
But what I hear about financial worries, they will dissipate. They will dissipate.
Okay.
And I see that burden that you're carrying around, must be debt or whatever it is, just kind of gradually going away.
Okay.
So be patient. Be patient. It'll go away.
Okay.
It's going to go away.
Okay.
Because there are those on the other side that want to help you. You just have to be relaxed and know there's help on the way. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Ooh, I didn't get any dead relatives. I mean, anybody who had served in the military. That was okay. Yeah, I got a friend who we've talked before, so I'll be there in a second. You know, I used to do the show for about 45 minutes. Now I'm doing it for an hour, which is cool. I think back to an hour, I can take more calls, and they still got about 40 minutes left. So if anybody wants to call in, especially if you want to call in and you want to get a message from somebody who died in military action. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tap in today, is that kind of energy. If you're willing to go with me on this, I got some articles we can get in. My friend, okay, so let me take a couple calls. Whoa, everybody's just kind of tuning in now, right? Let me take a call. Remember who we're trying to reach out to if we can today. And then, I got a couple quotes and articles and so forth and so on we can get into it depending on the time left in the show. So how is everybody today? Having fun? I mean, did you do something in remembrance of those who died in military action or in war? Yeah, because as I mentioned, you know, one of the stories I could tell you is that I had a friend, kind of an acquaintance friend in high school. He was a year ahead of me. And just after high school was out, I saw him and I was on his street because he lived a couple blocks from me back then. And he was in full military outfit, and we got talking a little bit, and he was about ready to deploy in the next day or so. And back then, we still got newspapers, you know, actual newspapers, hometown newspapers, right? And then I read about him dying, being killed in action. And that really struck home, because actually somebody I had talked to, yeah, that's really, really, I think he asked me to pray for him. Maybe not. I mean, I'm stretching my story because I don't remember all the details. But so it struck home. And I'll give you another story. I was in college, and there was a gentleman that was in one of my classes, and he'd been there. He was on the football team, and he had kind of used his eligibility in community college, and he was ready to go. He wasn't sure if he was going to go on to a four-year school or not. And lost a friend. So I got another caller. I will be in a minute. And you know, and he said, maybe I'm just going to have to go, you know, I'm going to end up in the Army. You know, it was Vietnam wartime. And I didn't see him after that. And I kind of was looking for him because I wonder if he was playing somewhere else, playing football. And then again, I read in the paper that he was killed in action. And it's like, whoa, you know, these things strike home. And you're going, whoa, okay. Okay, let me take a call. And I don't think any of those gentlemen want to come through today. No? Okay. Nope. I get it. No. Hello.
Hi. This is Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne. How is Yvonne today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
So, what are you doing? Doing anything special today?
Oh, no. Just been with family. Just eating.
Just eating. Well, you got to eat, right?
Yes.
So, Yvonne, what's on your mind today?
Well, there's been some recent changes with my boyfriend and me, so I just want to see what spirit has to say. Should I stay with him or should I not?
Well, but you're asking somebody outside. What's your gut feeling right off the bat? I'm not going to try to prejudice what I get for you, because this is a great grandmother on your mother's side that has some advice for you. So we're going to get to her in a moment. But what do you think? What are you feeling?
I'm leaning more towards no.
Yeah, staying with him?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's very stressful. It's very stressful on you. Okay, what I hear the message for you, and it really is more advice than yes or no, because if you say I want to stay, then nobody's ever going to try to talk you out of staying, but you do know it's stressful. The word is compromise. And what I hear for you about compromise is that if you can get him to compromise on certain things, it'll be a lot less stressful on you, correct?
Yes.
So you need to figure out what are those areas that you need compromise on. And I'm not going to get into all that. You know what they are, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then get a checklist. That's what I hear for you, and this is what I'm getting for you, is get a checklist of those things that you want him to compromise. Let's say, I think there's 5 or 6, right?
Yes, a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, if you can get him to compromise on a majority of them, then it's good, okay? But if he's only willing to compromise on 1 or 2, and especially if they're not the key ones, because there's a couple that are huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If he can't compromise on those two, then you really need to seriously look at the relationship, because it's doomed if you can't get him to compromise. So it's like, yeah, you can stay with him, but you got to get him to compromise.
Okay.
Does he want to stay?
You know what? I don't know. It seems like he does, because he's texting me and calling all the time.
Dear. Here's what you do, okay? If he's mm-hmm. doing all that, sometimes it's out of ego. Men do that out of ego because they fear, well, loss, you know what? Ask him, why do you want to be with me? What are the reasons why you want to be with me?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Why do you want to be with me? Why do you want to stay with me? And see what kind of, he gives you good reasons. Or does it feel very selfish? Right?
And
I'm not trying to talk you out of the no. I'm not trying to talk you into staying, but I'm just trying to say to you that you really need to have good reasons to stay with him. And so if you get compromised and you really get a strong feeling that, yes, he really does care for me. He really does want to be with me because he puts my best interests ahead of his sometimes, then it's worth it. But if not, then you really have to seriously look at, okay, you know what, this is not working for me. Because right now it's not, right?
Yes, it's not.
It's not. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to...
Don't make a decision in this second. First of all, talk to him. Ask him, okay. Why do you want to be with me? Okay?
Okay.
What is it that I bring into our relationship that helps you? Now, and then you have to ask yourself, what does he bring into the relationship that helps you?
You know, I wish that you can go deep into it for me and see, because we have a child together. And
yeah.
one of the problems is that he doesn't even want to be around his own child. We don't live together.
Right.
So he doesn't come. He doesn't visit the child or anything. He knows that it's his child. He doesn't deny the child. But he doesn't visit the child or ask even about the child. So that's why I was like, maybe Spirit has something to say about that. But if you don't pick up anything,
okay. Let me give you. You got to give me a second here. You kind of changed directions, and I got to hear something. And I'm just. I don't want to be flippant and just something off the top of my head like, oh, therapist, you know, no. I want to hear something from Spirit. And what they're trying to say is it's a lack of response, a lack or unwillingness to take on responsibility. He sees the child as responsibility. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got that. You understand that. You understand that.
Yeah.
You got the responsibility, but he's not stepping up to the responsibility. Okay? Because he doesn't want to accept responsibility. Will he? How old is he?
29.
No, he's not going to accept responsibility. He doesn't, his emotional base is not 49. You know that.
No.
He feels like he's in his late 20s. He's still playing.
Hmm.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So the child part of it, I don't want the responsibility of this child. Okay?
Okay.
That's what I hear. Now, you have to decide if that works for you or if you understand that or if that seems to relate to who he is. But that's why he doesn't come around.
Okay.
It's an inconvenience for him. Ew, that hurts, huh? That's not a good one.
I guess this is the reality of the truth, so I have to deal with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, and if that resonates with you and that feels right, then, you know, then go from there. If it doesn't, if you think, oh, that's crazy stuff, then disregard it. But it really feels like the energy I get there is he just doesn't want to be responsible for the relationship. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? Okay? Take care.
Thank you so much.
A lot of thought, a lot of prayer, and you need to ask him that. Like, what do you really want to be in this relationship? Do you really want to be responsible? Are you willing to take on responsibility? That sort of stuff. See what he says.
Okay.
That'll give you your answers right there. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
Whew. Yeah, that was pretty. Wow, that was pretty heavy. Yeah, but that's the coaching part. That's what Spirit does. They like to coach you. They like to give you information so that you can make decisions, give you a little bit more information so you can make a decision, because they're not necessarily going to tell you what to do. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. But if you have enough information and if you have enough insights into the other persons or yourself or the situation, it's much easier to make a decision. Wouldn't you agree with that? I think you'd agree with that, right? I think so. Anybody else want to talk to a dead relative or somebody in the military that they knew that passed? They're curious, a grandfather, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather, who's in, and how they're doing and, you know, how it was and how they're feeling about things. If you're interested in that at all, we can go there. Let me give you a quote moving right along here. Let me give you a quote from the Abraham material, and if I can find it again, it's like I open up all these windows and I go, really? Is that what I want to talk about? I think it's yesterday's quotes, not today's quotes. Yeah, it's yesterday. This is cool. This is from 1998, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, April 14th, and it's the Abraham material. Okay, be easy about it. Don't rush into things. Savor them more. Make more plans and be more deliberate and specific about plans you are making. Ooh, that sounds like fun, huh? And in all you do, let your dominant intent to be to find what pleases you as you imagine it. You know, that's sometimes hard, isn't it? Yeah, I think about that. I was reading this, I'm thinking, okay. Let your desire for pleasure and your desire for feeling good be your guiding light. Let me read that again. This is just a great statement. It's the law of attraction and a lot of the principles of the law of attraction. But it's just good advice in general, right? Let your desire for pleasure, things that feel good, and your desire for feeling good be your guiding light. As you seek those thoughts that feel good, you will always be in vibrational harmony with the energy that is your source, source being God or whatever you want to call it. But when you're feeling good, you're connected. You're in vibrational harmony with the universe, with source. And under those conditions, only good can come to you. And only good can come from you. Isn't that a beautiful statement? I love that. And under those conditions, only good can come to you. And only good can come from you. But as I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about this the other day, it was yesterday, this quote. And I'm thinking about this going, that's hard sometimes. It really is hard. You know, like if you're into this thing and you're feeling good, you're thinking about things and feel good, doesn't all of a sudden something junk come out of the air and something that doesn't feel good? But what if, you know, you're thinking about something you want to do that's fun and then the disaster thing pops into your head and you go, oh. So you got to get focused back on what feels good. Well, or you get focused on doubt if that ever could happen to me, right? the pleasures that you, well, I'm going to go on this great trip and I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's going to be a great time. And then you go, what if I lose my baggage? You know, it's like, blow it up. You've just blown up. The whole positive energy thing has just been blown up. So what you need to do is just kind of get back, refocus on what feels good. Don't let the negative creep in. You know, yeah, people do that. And I, family and relatives and stuff, if you go away and suddenly they get into all the negative stuff that could happen. And oh, it's going so well today. We're having so much fun and something horrible is going to happen. You ever anybody like that in your life? It's like, oh, please, can we just enjoy it? Stay focused on the now. That's where mindfulness comes into play. You know that. You understand the concept of mindfulness, don't you? Oh, we got somebody. Holy Princess. Oh, I love that. Wow. What a cool. Because I can't call in. Oh. Now, do you have an actual first name? Actual first name? Can I have an actual first name? Please. Okay, if not, if you can't, I'll see what I can get. I'll see if I get a month or a year. Yeah, like 2018 you'll be moving. Like, no, not 2018. I want it sooner than that, right? Okay, so when do I get? You're going to give me a first name? No, you're not going to. Okay. Oh, okay, Lisa, got it. Okay, well, let's go from there. Let's see when Lisa's moving. I won't ask for any more information from you, but other than that, I keep getting July. July comes in. I don't know why. Maybe that's one of your ancestors is saying they're helping you move in July. It's on your mother's side of the family and it goes back. Mother's side of your family, male figure. I see you packing. Are you packing now? It feels like there's packing going on, or soon there's going to be packing. Okay, packing. I see boxes being packed and my back tape and all kinds of fun stuff going on in your life. Okay, so for some reason I get July, and hopefully it's this July. Is that too soon for you, or are you hoping for later? I keep getting July. Maybe you'll finalize it in July, but July feels like the time, a big month for you, because I see all these boxes and you're frantic and running around like a crazy person. Okay, hope that helps. Does that help? What do you think? Does that help at all? Or do you need more clarity? It's about as much as I can get based on the information I get. It's okay. Yeah, just okay. Yeah, kind of okay. Not really exciting. Just okay. Just okay. That's good. Okay. But just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. You'll see what happens. Okay? And then you can call me back in July and go, hey, wow, it happened the way you said. Or, nah, you're wrong. It's going to be delayed. But I don't think so. Get all these questions. People just, yeah, that was fun. But I still get boxes around you, bunch of boxes around you, like packing tape and boxes. Now, is this you? But I see a statue of something. A statue. Is that you or somebody else? A statue. Do you have a statue? And it's not a big, it's not like a 12-foot statue, but there's a statue of some kind. It's kind of cool. Cool statue of some kind. It feels like a female energy statue. Is that you? Or somebody I'm connecting with here. Okay, let me get into an article or two. And anybody else want to call? Anybody wants to talk to a dead person or a non-physical family member who is wanting to communicate with you at some level? And especially those who may have been in the military and died in combat or in a war theater. Kind of wanted to see if I could communicate with anybody like that today. Or if you want to, oh, I got a fun thing for anybody out there. If you want to go to a past life, and maybe you were in the military in a past life, because a lot of people that I've talked to in past lives died during World War II or World War I, because war is like, I don't know, like 60 million people died during the wars. World War I, I think. Two, double, dose. Okay, so if you're into that, let's do that. but let's see what's going on. So we can deal with some past lives, and maybe you had one in the war theater. Maybe you died in a war. Oh, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, what do you think? You want to do that? Or you want me to go on to some boring articles about something else, right? About love. It's about love, isn't it? It's about loving yourself. So, relationship issues, relationship problems. I'll check back and see if you guys want to talk. If you're with me, if there's any questions, if you want to connect to a non-physical entity. I was kind of exploring articles, trying to find something about love and relationships and just love in general. And I came upon a one on relationships in WebMD on 7 solutions that can save a relationship. Now, we're not going to get into all of these. Don't have time. Now, it talks about marriage, but it isn't necessarily about marriage because a lot of people aren't getting married these days, right? A lot of people are just having relationships, and marriage is kind of like, nah, I don't know about that marriage stuff, you know. We'll hang out. You know, relationships have really changed over the years, right? People kind of like either live together or live separately and spend a lot of time together, have their separate residences and all that sort of thing. Because it's just the way life is, you know, especially as you get older. You don't want to give up your own personal freedom, do you? Okay, but let me get back. I'm rambling on and on about some things probably shouldn't even be talking about right now. So let's get back to the article. And it's about relationship problems, communication. All relationships problems stem from poor communication, according to Elaine Simberg, author of Blending Families. You can't communicate while you're checking your BlackBerry, you know, your iPhone, right? Watching TV or flipping through the sports section, she says. So problem-solving strategies. I like these. This is about problem-solving strategies and relationships. Now, you could be married or couples or whatever you call themselves. You can even apply this to friends and, you know, it's generally it works whoever the relationship is with. Make an actual appointment with each other. If you live together, put the cell phones on vibrate, put the kids to bed, and let your voicemail pick up your calls. Yeah. You ever seen people have a discussion and they're kind of intense, and the phone rings for one of them and they, oh, wait a second, this might be, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you can't do that. You got to turn your phones off. They can wait. Why is it that answering the phone is so important? Like, you're going to miss out on something. It's like Publishers Clearinghouse is calling you to give you $1 million, right? Or it's a new job. No, it's not that important. They'll leave a message. If it's important, they'll leave a message. If you can't communicate without raising your voices, go to a public spot like a library, park, or restaurant where you'd be embarrassed if somebody saw you screaming. Now, some people, that doesn't matter, you know, they'll just kick you out. But so, yeah, if you can't talk in a civil manner, and that's an agreement, too. That's an agreement that you have to have. And going back to my training on dealing with relationships and dealing with heated situations, if it gets to that point, and if you can't go out and you're at home, have an agreement that if one starts to get really heated, you're going to do a timeout. You're going to take 10 minutes, each go to separate rooms, and cool down a little bit, and then come start the conversation where you left off. That's kind of an agreement you need to do, especially, or even if you're in public place, you know what, timeout, I'm going to the restroom. Or timeout, I'm going to my space, and you go to your space. We need to calm down, because this is spiraling out of control, and we can't deal with it. Set some rules. Try not to interrupt until your partner is through speaking, or ban phrases such as "you always" or "you never." Now, that's the old talking stick, you know, like, okay, here's the talking stick. Now you can talk because you got the stick. When you got the stick, you can talk. If you don't have the stick, you can't talk, right? You ever do that talking stick thing? It's kind of a cool thing, the talking stick. Okay, you take the stick, I'll take the stick. You know, if you don't have the stick, you can't talk. We got to get the stick first. I've gone to group things where you have to have the talking stick. You ever do that? It's a good idea, even in that kind of relationship situation. where you kind of recognize, oops, I'm not holding the stick. I can't talk yet. It works. It really does work. So get a talking stick. Get a something, you know. Don't get a club, though. Okay, don't get a club. Don't get something big that you can hit the other person if they're talking, you know, if they're speaking out of turn, you can whack them with. No, don't go there. Just leave that one alone. Get the little, maybe it's a teddy bear. That's a good one. The talking teddy bear, whatever it is, right? Okay, so we're moving right on. I'm having some fun with this a little bit but it's serious stuff. I realize it's serious stuff, but these are really good ideas that you can use in a relationship. Maybe it's siblings. It doesn't matter who the relationship is with. Just it's in couples, it gets a little out of control, right? Use body language to show you're listening. Ooh, that's really important. Don't doodle, look at your watch, or pick at your nails. Nod so the other person knows you're getting the message, and rephrase if you need to. That's really important. Rephrasing if you need to, kind of feeding it back to them that you're actually hearing what they have to say. What I hear you saying is that you feel as though you have more chores at home, even though you're not work. We're both working. That's an example. So that was like the husband or boyfriend saying, I realize that what you're saying. So do that. Use that. I realize what you're saying. You may not agree with it, but you recognize and you're cognizant of what they're saying. If you're right, the other can confirm. If what the other person really meant was, hey, you're a slob and you create more work for me by having to pick up after you, he or she can say so, but in a nicer way. Ooh, that's a tough one, right? You're a slob. You just leave. You ever live with a slob? Oh, it's a horrible situation. But you know what? I know I'm sidetracking a little bit and go off on a strange little tangent, sir, but I'm having fun. I've lived with guys, roommates, and I've lived with women, roommates. Not romantic, but just roommates. And some were kind of romantic, but lived with different people. And I found women to be as big a slobs as men. I'm kind of clutter freak. I don't like clutter. I zone out on clutter, right? You know, if you leave clutter anywhere, I just kind of zone out. But men or women, doesn't matter. We're both bad. Okay. So if you're really against clutter, you have to be really careful. Okay, so I don't know why I went there on that one, but it doesn't matter. Men or women, both are the same as to clutter, at least I think. Yeah. Yeah, you learn something about somebody really quickly if you go on a vacation with them for a few days and you have to stay somewhere like a hotel or something. And you kind of learn pretty quickly what kind of person they are. So I think in a relationship, this whole idea of never living with somebody or even for short periods of time before you kind of get into a relationship, bad idea. In my opinion, bad idea. Very bad idea. Because you need to know what their habits are, their daily habits are. Because pretty soon, if you're staying with somebody or even on a vacation or a trip with somebody, who they are will show up fairly quickly. And you go, oh no, what am I getting myself into? Okay, moving right along. I don't know why I went off on that tangent. I guess that's been my experience. Anybody else have that experience? Are you spending some time with somebody and you suddenly, it doesn't even have to be a romantic partner. It could be a family member and you're going, what did I get myself into? Really. Okay, so the next one is about sex. Relationship problems, sex. Even partners who love each other can be a mismatch sexually. Mary Jo Fay, author of Please Dear, Not Tonight, says a lack of sexual awareness and education worsens these problems. But having sex is one of the last things you should give up. Wow, Fay says. Sex, she says, brings us closer together, releases hormones that help our bodies both physically and mentally, and keeps the chemistry of a healthy couple healthy. Yeah. What do you think about that? That's pretty good. That's a good statement, isn't it? Sex is one of the last things that you could give up in a relationship. Okay. Well, I won't editorialize on that one. I'll leave that one alone. So problem-solving strategies for the sex. And this happens in relationships where you get into a new relationship, old relationship, especially as you get older. You know, maybe in your 20s, it's like, wow, you know, it's all wild and crazy for a while. Then maybe it'll slow down, right? But, and people get really busy at work and other things. It gets frustrating. It gets like, okay, so let me get into their article. Problem-solving strategies. Plan, plan, plan. Faye suggests making an appointment, but not necessarily at night when everybody is tired. That's a good point. You know, nothing like 11 o'clock at night and you've had a long day. Okay, let's get in the sack. You know, it's like, okay, you know, no, wait a minute, time out here. Maybe during the, okay, so they suggestions, and if you have kids, and if you don't have kids, just kind of ignore these suggestions. Maybe during the baby's Saturday afternoon nap or before work quickie. Yeah, that's a good one, before work quickie. Friends or family to take the kids every other Friday for night for a sleepover. When sex is on the calendar, it increases your anticipation. That's good. That's a good one, isn't it? Changing things up a bit can make sex more fun, too, she says. Why not have sex in the kitchen? And flashes of movies come running through my head of clearing off the table, right? Yeah, okay. We'll leave that one alone. We won't go into fantasies. I mean, we could talk about it. No, we won't. Fantasy time. No, we'll leave that one alone. Or by the fire. Well, you got to be careful with fires. You have to have a really good screen, don't you? Or standing up in the hallway. Just, yeah. In the car in the garage. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. We'll not go there. Okay, yes. A bathroom stall at your favorite restaurant. No, okay, George, you're gone weird here. Learn that truly turns you and your partner on by each of your coming up with a personal sexy list, suggests California psychotherapist Allison Cohen. Swap the lists and use them to create more scenarios that can turn you both on. I like that one. That's a good one. Make a list. And I have one, as I would suggest here after we're done with their suggestions. Okay, if your sexual relationship problems can't be resolved on your own, Faye recommends consulting a qualified sex therapist can help you both address and resolve your issues. Well, that's a good one too. But sometimes it's a medical issue. I have a friend who, well, I won't get into friends, but, you know, yeah. But it could be a medical issue. Or it's a psychological issue. Sometimes people have to be tested for the medical issues, men especially, to find out the whatever dysfunction, you know, is medical or psychological. Okay. Here's my suggestion on all of that too, is go slow. Take your time. A lot of cuddling. And sensitivity training. A lot of sensitivity training. Getting familiar with the other person's body and being without a sexual, that's a tantric kind of thing where you're getting familiar with the other person, but in a non-sexual way where there's a lot of closeness, a lot of touching, but it's a lot of massage, a lot of gentle caressing, but no sexual activity. So it's really becoming comfortable with the other person up close. You know, usually you would sit just across from each other with loose clothes on. And you would just, you know, touch and hold hands and just, you know, just work slowly getting familiar with the other person's body. And it goes into all these other stuff. And we won't go there. We'll leave it alone. But that's the idea here is familiarity. Especially if you had some tough times sexually and otherwise, it's good to get back to that familiarity and that comfortableness together. Okay? Okay, so people have joined me late. And I know I went off on a tangent here, but yeah, it's about love, isn't it? Yeah. Taking calls, and we're talking to dead people, non-physical entities, the family members wanted to talk to anybody who perhaps a relative, friend, family member who went to war and died in a war theater, and to see if we could connect one of those people. But I just went off on this other thing about relationships. We were talking about love. And relationships and why relationships don't work and why they do work. And it's an excellent article. I should post it on Facebook, and I will. So those who are with me on Facebook, you could read this for yourself because there's 7 parts to the whole thing. And it's from – so I am clicking on my little Facebook button, and I am posting this on Facebook so you can read it for yourself. And maybe I'll get back to it tomorrow. No, I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be here on Wednesday. I won't be here tomorrow. So we'll do it Wednesday. The other relationship problem we have a couple minutes on, and I won't get into it completely, is money. Ooh, that's a big one. Sex and money, right? Money problems can start even before the wedding vows are exchanged. They can stem, for example, from the expenses of courtship or from the high cost of a wedding. I know that one. I remember that one. That's a tough one, where one person or the other person's expectations, you know, and I was with a lady and then we had been talking about getting married, and the therapist that we saw, because she thought I was, you know, crazy, I guess, good word for it, my wagon a little bit, wasn't caring. He basically asked her, do you want a marriage or a wedding? What do you really want here? And for her, it was, I mean, I'm not being critical of a person, but it's to some women, it's the wedding. They've been conditioned for the wedding. Okay, so that can put a person in a lot of debt if you're paying for it yourself. Okay, the National Foundation of Credit Counseling recommends that couples who have money woes take a deep breath and have a serious conversation about finances. That's a good thing, isn't it? Be honest about your current financial situation. If things have gone south, continuing the same lifestyle is unrealistic. Do you believe that? I believe that. I went through that one. You know, it's time to cut up these credit cards. They're just putting us in the hole. And don't get them back. You know, don't get them back. Whoa. You know, you cut them up. And then about a few months later, you go, ooh, they send you these applications because you've closed all these accounts and you've paid them off. And then you start getting these things in the mail. And you got to avoid temptation, right? Or you can get yourself back into the same hole again and again. Don't approach the subject in the heat of battle. Ooh. Instead, set aside a time that is convenient and non-threatening for both of you. I don't have time for all this article, but this is a really good article. It's a really good about strategy for money and in a relationship, because it can be a big problem. And a lot of relationships go really south because of money. I think mine did to some degree, my marriage. And that's a long story. Yeah. And it can really create bitterness between two people about money. So it's an important subject to think about and love, because love sometimes can't cover up the fact that one person is extravagant and off the wagon as a money and the other person is trying to be frugal, or the other way around, or you're both just out there spending money and it's crazy. Right? So that's something that, you know, that's a tough subject to deal with. It takes a lot of, I don't know, love for yourself and your relationship to really sit down, discuss money. And when you're getting in a relationship, you know, there's a lot of swallowing of the ego and talk about your financial situation and discuss it openly and clearly, and so that the other person knows where you're coming from. Because, you know, the thing is, maybe you'll scare them away. Or maybe you'll kind of look at them going, wait a minute, what am I getting myself into? Which I probably should have done. In one case, and I think most of us could have said that, you know, if I would have just talked more about it and discussed it maybe before I got into this relationship and committed to something, if I would have known what the person's background was about money, maybe I would have taken a second look at it, right? You agree with me? Okay, we spent a good hour on this. I've got a few calls, which were fun. We talked to some dead people, and which was I love to do. And I will be back on Wednesday, and we will do this again. I will talk to your ancestors and your family members or your friends of the family, and they'll give you messages of love and hope and direction. Because they give direction. That's the cool thing about it. They coach you. They help you to see where life could be going, which I love this part of it. And they also kick you in the butt from time to time and tell you, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, or, you know, dump the jerk time. So it's been fun. I love you guys. It's been fun. I'll be back on Wednesday. Have a beautiful evening, day. Bye now.